Ding.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's 2 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, December 18th, 2025. I would like to call the Ponsinlet Town Council to order. I would ask everyone to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record reflect that Councilman Milano is not present, and Vice Mayor Smith, Councilman Villanella, and Councilman White are present and in chambers. Now, before we begin our items on the agenda, I would ask for confirmation from our attorney. That's before we begin any item that requires a vote, whether roll call or otherwise, because we have four council members here this evening rather than five. Three votes are needed for a motion to pass, and a vote of 2-2, the motion will fail. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay. So now we will move on to item 4, any additions, corrections, or deletions to the agenda. Anyone?
I do have one, actually. I'm adding item 6A, and that's a recognition for one of our staff members.
Thank you very much. So we're adding a 6A, so 6A becomes 6B?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Any others? I move to adopt the agenda as modified.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted as modified. Item 5, citizen participation. This is your opportunity under our rules to come to the podium and to speak on a matter that is not on our agenda and let us know your views and your opinions, which are important to us and one way to communicate with us. I continue to encourage each of you to consider communicating with your council members or the staff by telephone or request a meeting. There is not a clock nor a limitation of 5 minutes in those meetings or phone calls, as our rules do call for here in citizen participation. So during citizen participation, we will take down any questions that you may have and be back in touch with you with an answer. You will receive an answer, but respecting the length of these meetings and accuracy, you will receive an answer after the meeting once staff can review the question and obtain the information. We do ask that you fill out a pink slip and provide it to our town clerk if you wish to speak. When you come to the podium, please place your name and address on the record for us. And if a council member wishes to touch upon something you have said, they are able to do so during their closing comments at the end of the meeting. The first person we have is Mark Obeck. Mark?
Mark Obeck, 4758 South Peninsula Drive. First, I'm speaking on behalf of our associate Veterans Association. A recap of the parade that we had. To say that it was the most challenging parade we've had in years would be an understatement. Between one of the band buses getting in an accident and being delayed to that last minute downpour that we had, it still went off well. Got any number of compliments regarding not just the size and the energy in the parade, but also just the way it seemed to flow. I want to thank the town. I want to thank the police, fire, EMS, public works, and this town council for joining us and helping us make it such a success. So thank you so much. It's greatly appreciated. People in the town look forward to it year in and year out. And next year, we plan to even have it bigger and better. So thank you. Thank you. And just a note quickly regarding the memorial expansion. Many of us that served didn't have a choice to serve. We were drafted. So we just raised our right hand and pledge allegiance to the Constitution. I ask that this town, they have a choice now to let us move forward with the expansion. I believe that if the will is there, you will find a way to let us do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. The next person we have is Julie Garrett. Ms. Garrett.
Good afternoon. My name's Julie Garrett. Excuse me. I'm a public affairs specialist with the Office of Disaster Recovery and Resilience with the U.S. Small Business Administration. And you're probably thinking, well, why are you here? We didn't have a disaster. And I understand that. I'm here because Brevard County had a very small flooding and severe storm disaster on October 26th. Volusia County is adjacent to Brevard County, so you also have the possibility for your citizens to apply for a disaster loan if they did have damage. And I've given that information up here, and I just want everyone to know that is for homeowners, renters, nonprofits, and businesses of all sizes. If you had damage from the storm and flooding on October 26th, you can apply. So that's one thing, but what I'm really here to talk to you about is how disaster loans have a mitigation component. And if anyone in your county got a disaster loan for Hurricane Milton last year, and they are in, they've applied for Elevate Florida, or they want to make their house stronger, they have 2 years to add mitigation funding to their physical disaster loan. And a lot of people don't know about that. So I'm co-messaging on that small disaster and also on the mitigation funding. You can find out more on our website. It's sba.gov/disaster. These are really low interest disaster loans. The rate for homeowners is as low as 3%, as low as 4% for businesses, and then there's no payment for the first year. There's no interest for the first year, so it really helps people to build back stronger, make their houses stronger, do those mitigation projects in a year when we didn't have a hurricane, so maybe you can handle, you know, the rebuilding this year, or if there is a disaster, we're here to help you. And I've left some packets on this table up front, and you're welcome to take those if any of the citizens here are interested. sba.gov/disaster, and thank you for allowing me to speak.
Oh, thank you so much for coming, and if we wish to follow up or pursue, we will do that for purposes of dissemination of the information and maybe further explanation. Thank you so much for making the trip here. We really appreciate that for our residents.
Thank you so much, and I did put my business cards there, and they're on your packets. Feel free to reach out to me. Anybody can, so I'm here to help, and if there's anything I can do, I'd love to chat with you. Thanks.
Thank you so much. And we have, the next is John Carney. Mr. Carney?
John Carney, 38 Coastal Oak Circle. Thank you, Mayor. Just want to ask a question of the council and of Mr. Disher related to some issues of judgment that I'm seeing. When we look back at the town's recent and not so recent record regarding personnel actions with the fire department, you know, we expect the town council to be elected by us to pass judgment on issues of interest to the town, and Mr. Disher to be appointed by you and also pass sound judgment when often there is not complete information on certain items. And so surrounding all the personnel issues within the fire department, there's just been an ongoing list of things. I'm just going to try to quickly catalog those so we're all on the same page. And if I speak wrongly about one of these, somebody can jump in and correct me because this is all public information. But in 2009, there were pictures taken showing several people within the firehouse with a gun on town property. 2010, those photographs were published to social media. In 2016, there was an internal affairs investigation opened up by the Ponce Inlet Police Department after the fire department employees filed a grievance for a hostile work environment, which included verbal abuse and retaliation claims. We'll try. In 2017, there was a disciplinary action taken by Janine Witt against Mr. Scales for this hostile work environment case. Also in 2017, firefighter Reniker sold a gun to Ms. Severson on town property. 2021, Lieutenant Derek George was fired for insubordination, and Kyle Oberst was fired for negligence as a paramedic when he had things in his duties that may have contributed to the death of a patient, allegedly. 2022, the firearms photos come to light and the attention to Dan Scales, and leading to a couple of things. One, George and Oberst were fired. About the same time, Mr. Disher became the interim town manager. In 23, Disher was appointed the full-time manager, not interim. George and Oberst, or somewhere in that time frame, filed an appeal. Severson was fired for gun photos and an alleged gun purchase on town property. In 24, Severson files a federal lawsuit alleging wrongful termination based on gender and age. And then that brings us up to 25. The Court of Appeals, I think, throughout the appeal from Oberst and George, and I guess found in favor of the town. A panel of judges ordered mediation in the Severson case, and then an agreement that you guys are going to deal with later came to pass. And so my question in all this is that when Mr. Disher came into office, there were a whole lot of issues in this town related to personnel, pretty much exclusively in the fire department. And at the same time that was going on, and at least to my knowledge, I wasn't seeing those kind of issues in any other department, Mr. Disher brought in Mr. Scales to do a bunch of other things in addition to his job running the fire station. And I guess I'm not sure if that was super fair to Mr. Scales, because given all the things going on, these personnel issues can suck up a lot of time. You know, if I had been in the decision tree on that, I think I would have leaned more towards go back to the firehouse and get that all in order, because there's some things there that, you know, could have been cleaned up. But we didn't see that happen. And to the contrary, things that I want an explanation on, like, why is the police department put underneath Mr. Scales at that time when some of these events were triggered by an investigation that was done by that same police department? And so is there wisdom in having them then report to him? And at the time when that alignment was made, there was still an open whistleblower complaint that hadn't been adjudicated yet, saying that he had been retaliated against for whistleblowing. And so, you know, it's just a matter of judgment, like I said at the beginning. And given all these things going on, I mean, I'm open-minded, but I just would like to get an explanation as to why we've got one part of the town that's having some issues, and at least from the outside looking in, the other parts didn't seem to have these issues. And instead of having Mr. Scales go and clean up all the stuff that was going on down in the fire station, we dilute his time to do a bunch of other things. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carney. This is not something that we could just respond right now. I don't think you
understand.
Expect. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak during citizen participation? If not, citizen participation is closed, and we will move on now to our item six, proclamations, presentations, and awards. We have now 6A. I'll turn that over to Mr. Disher. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Right now, I'd like to recognize one of our employees for a very special achievement. This is Philip Wright. And we'd like to recognize him for his achievement of becoming a citizen of the United States. He was officially sworn in at a ceremony in Orlando this past Monday, and we're very proud to celebrate this milestone with him. Philip joined our Public Works Department as a maintenance technician on May 6, 2024. In just over a year and a half, he's become a valued part of the team, a hard worker who is always willing to step in and help and who approaches his work with a quiet, positive attitude. We're grateful for his service to our community and proud to have him as a part of the Town of Ponce Inlet family. Congratulations. And Philip and Stephen, if you'd like to join me up front, we have something special for you. All right, give us just a minute.
Thank you and congratulations. And on behalf of the town council, we are so appreciative to have you here. Thank you and thank you, Mike. We are now at 6B, which is the Community Rating System Program Update, and that will be presented by Del Schwalz, Schwalz Consulting, LLC. Del? Oh. And Hank.
Good afternoon, Hank Baker, building official. So this week, we begin the process of our five-year cycle visit for our community rating system. Del Schwalz is here from Schwalz Consulting. He's the one helping us get through this process, and he's going to give you a presentation on the town's progress.
Thank you, Hank.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me here. As Hank said, my name is Del Schwalz. I am the town's floodplain flood consultant. And I'm going to give you an update on the flood insurance discounts that we received through the community rating system and the process we're going through now. Here's my contact information. I wanted to, before we get into the CRS program, I wanted to mention, as you can see, I'm on the board of directors for the Florida Floodplain Managers Association. It's a group of over 1,200 community officials, engineers, consultants, surveyors, planners from around the state, focused on educating people on flood risk and reducing flood risk overall. And this year, we had our annual conference over on the West Coast, on the Gulf Coast, and your mayor, Lois, was very kind to come and be one of our keynote speakers. And with our 1,200 members, we've had a lot of speakers at our conferences, and I don't know if you're aware of how much of a rock star Lois is. Our members are used to the politicians standing up and giving the speech, and we wake up and they fall asleep. And Lois, I just really appreciate you coming. The members were raving about your talk, and it was very energizing to our floodplain community on the steps you can take to actually reduce flood damage when the storm comes. So I really appreciate you traveling across the state to join us. It was very well received, and you set a very high bar for next year's conference.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure to do so, and you all were very welcoming, so thank you.
We tried. So jumping in, I want to give you a little update. So the community rating system, of course, is FEMA's way to provide discounted flood insurance for those communities that go above and beyond the minimum standard. They want to reward that effort. And the activities that we get credit for actually do reduce flood damage. So it's not out of the kindness of their heart that they're doing this. It's the carrot to get you to do better so that when the storm comes, the damage is less, and thus the money they spend on the back end is less. Ponce Inlet is a Class 5. have been since 2014, and that gives you a 25% discount. Now, given the fact that there's a lot of money being discounted, FEMA requires us to go through a five-year audit to kind of reinvent the wheel, make sure the things they're giving you credit for are actually happening. And so we just had our meeting yesterday, walked through. It was about a six-hour meeting, I think. It was a very long process of check this box, look under the, you know, trying to really dig into all the nuances of everything you're doing as a town to make sure you're getting full credit. For the community rating system, about 5 years ago, FEMA started changing the way they do flood insurance. And so previously, only the people in the mapped flood zones, which are the colored areas here, would actually get the discount for the flood insurance, the full discount. If you're outside of that area, you got a smaller discount. Well, under the new system, everybody gets the full discount. So the value of this program has gone up, because while you have a lot of policies in the flood zone, about 500-600, you actually have about 1,700 outside of the flood zone. So those other residents actually get the full discount now. So in the last few years, the benefit to residents has gone up for this program. So as we see here, we're currently at a CRS Class 5, which is a 25% discount on your flood insurance, and there are 2,425 policies in the town limits. So you have over 2,400 residents directly benefiting from this program, and the program's open to anybody in the town as well. The residents are currently paying over $1 million a year in flood insurance premiums. However, that's discounted by $340,000. So without this program, your residents will be paying another $340,000. So that's money that stays in the town's pockets, in the residents' pockets. And we all know insurance is expensive enough, and so every dollar helps. And so that's $340,000 that's staying in the town instead of going into the flood insurance program, because of the work you're doing as a town. Now, our five-year soccer visit we went through yesterday, there's about a six-month lag on when new classes can come into play. We have April 1st and October 1st. We've passed the April 1st due date because they have so much internal administrative processing. So as of October 1st, 2026, our meeting yesterday was very successful. We're still going through the process of finishing some documentation, making sure all the T's and I's are dotted and crossed. And we're currently looking under the rugs for every quarter and nickel we can find, because there's so many actions and activities that the town's doing that it's hard to always find everything. And so the point of the meeting is not just to go through and audit what we're doing, but to find extra credit for your activities. And so we think we are a shoe-in for a Class 4, which is going to raise that discount up to $407,000. I think we're a shoe-in for a Class 3, which is going to get us up to $475,000. Now, there are some prerequisites. Most communities in Florida and the U.S. stop at a Class 5, because you got to have a watershed master plan that meets all these different requirements. In the country, there are 1,500 communities in the CRS program, and only 28 have a rating of 4 or higher, 28 out of 1,500. And so we are in good company, but we want to go up. And so I think we can make it to the Class 3. Amy Pierce and Hank Baker have been doing extraordinary work, and Mike and his team, and so we're trying to document everything and go through that process. FEMA is ready to close the books on this, because we were supposed to have our meeting last fall, but enter hurricanes, and so it got postponed. So they're ready to close the books on it. I think we'll have a final verdict by end of January, mid-February. But we really have until probably May, middle of May, to lock in our rate to get the October 1st date. So that's when the rate would actually change for anybody who renewed their policy for flood insurance. As of October 1st, they would see that new discount. So that's where I think we're going to land when the dust settles. But where are we headed? What is the goal here? Well, we could shoot for a Class 2, which would give us $543,000 in discounts, or a Class 1, which is $610,000. I think we can get there as the town of Ponce Inlet. There's a lot of folks in the country who say that coastal communities can't be Class 1s because you don't have the motivation, and I disagree with that. And so there are only two Class 1 communities in the entire nation, one in California and one in Oklahoma. And so it would be pretty fantastic to be able to hang that sign up on the town of Ponce Inlet's wall. But it's a goal. We have a plan. We have a strategy. What we don't want to do is get to a Class 2 or 1 and only to lose it the next time. There's a community in Kentucky that goes back and forth between a 1 and a 3 because they get there and they stop the progress and stop the work. It does take some time to do that, but as you can see, that extra 5% discount that stays in the residents' pockets quickly pays for itself in staff time and progress or process implementation there. So we got a lot of great partners, and so we're going to, as we get closer to the final deadline, and we find that out for sure, we'll do a press release and make sure everybody knows. And what we also want to do is make sure that the residents are actually getting their discounts. There are some administrative things in the FEMA world that would have some residents maybe not getting their discount because a form got filled out incorrectly. So part of our progress this coming year is going to be to reach out to the residents that we can to find out if everybody's getting their discounts. That list of people is privacy protected, so we can't actually call somebody up and say, hey, you're on the list. So we have to be real sneaky about how we communicate and how people should investigate that. But so that's the plan. So how do we get there? How do we get to those higher classes? And one thing to keep in mind is the goal of getting a higher class is not just for points. It's not for the sake of points. It's not for the sake of insurance discounts. The goal is to do that because these activities actually reduce flood damage. And Ponce Inlet has been very lucky compared to the West Coast as far as hurricane damage goes. But there is going to be a day when Hurricane Matthew doesn't turn. There's going to be a day when a hurricane comes right at us. And when that happens, the more these activities are in place, the more resilient the town's going to be, the less damage, and the more quickly we can recover. I have family in Mexico Beach. They were not prepared for Hurricane Michael, and they are still trying to get back to what they were, and never will be. And I don't want to see that happen to Ponce Inlet. So the strategy of this is to actually focus on that resiliency. One of the biggest ways is open space and conservation. Of course, if you don't put something in the floodplain, it doesn't get damaged. And so FEMA's really focused on keeping that open space. And y'all have so much beautiful open space in the river on the west side of the island. We want to make sure we keep that intact. Not only does it add recreation and aesthetic benefits, but when the storms go into the parks, they don't go into your houses. So we want to make sure we focus on that. Natural functions and habitat preservation, FEMA's really key on making sure that floodplains do what they do, which is hold the floodwaters and provide habitat for endangered species and other wildlife. And so integrating that with our open space initiatives, mapping unmapped floodplain, there's a lot of talk around the country about how FEMA's maps are wrong, they don't reflect the flooding, and that's true because a lot of them were made 30 years ago. And the data, even when it gets republished, isn't always accurate. So we want to actually look and see where is the flood risk? How can we raise the bar on not adding regulations, but better protecting our residents? And looking at the flood protection projects, there's a lot of great work going on, Steve and his team, and some of the grants. And so as we reduce flood damage and implement these flood protection projects, whether they're grant-funded or not, we can get credit for that while we reduce the flood damage. Making sure more people have flood insurance. There's only about 700 people who have flood insurance in the mapped flood zone. We have 1,700 voluntary policies. We want to make sure that more people have flood insurance so that when the storm happens, they can recover quicker. If you get damaged and you're trying to get payouts from FEMA, that 5%, pennies on the dollar versus your $250,000 flood claim, that changes the game on your recovery ability. Looking at stormwater management and how we do that, a lot of people think Barrier Island, Peninsula, and they only think about storm surge. But the rainfall, the stormwater, is a key part of this. And so integrating those systems and making sure that it's performing to its best ability. Planning, we don't need another plan to sit on a shelf, but we do need a plan before we start moving. And so how can we maximize the benefits of the work that's being done? And then our community participation is a really key part of this. The Program for Public Information that we work with in Volusia County and having our residents actually step into that process is a huge part because FEMA knows when you get the residents at the table, the solutions are better. You don't overlook the problems that maybe a neighborhood knows about, but it hasn't been communicated to the staff. So making sure that the community stays in participation. And as I mentioned, the watershed master plan, that's a key prerequisite. And so making sure we're getting that graded and going to fill in any gaps there. But there are a lot of activities. The manual for this program is about 5 inches thick. And there are hundreds and hundreds of activities. And so it is a complicated recipe, to say the least. And so that's the goal, is to really start looking at what makes sense for the town, not just going for points for the sake of points, and making sure that what we can do is sustainable and provides creates a more resilient Ponce Inlet. So that's what I've got for you. If you've got any questions.
I have a question. If a resident looks at their flood insurance, will they see the discount? Can they tell from their policy, are they getting the discount or not?
Yes, sir. So if you look at your flood insurance disclosure page, the very first page, where it lists your premium, there's a line item called CRS discount. And depending on the insurance company, it looks a little different. And if that's zero, there's a problem. And so that's the key way residents can know if they're on the list. And it's interesting, I work for some other communities as well, and we've sent out letters, we've had public meetings, and told everybody, look at your policies. And in that community, Fernandina Beach was the one I was talking about, we have 85 residents who are getting no discount, and we cannot get them to pay attention. And so the strategy of communicating this to the residents is complicated, because most folks say, oh yeah, it's right here. The folks who are not getting the discount are more hard to track down.
Well, and if you don't have the discount, do you go back to your insurance carrier or do you go to FEMA directly? How do you get that discount?
Well, they're going to work with us, the building department and myself, because there are some strategies that we can implement to get that fixed. We can look at why the discount's not there. Is it a form that was filled out incorrectly? Was the insurance rated incorrectly? Or does the house just simply not comply? Do they need flood openings? Are the floors too low? And so really trying to figure out how we rectify FEMA's database. When FEMA went to their new rating system, they took all their databases of properties that may or may not be compliant, whether it's errors or whatever, and they threw them all in a bucket and said, communities, y'all fix it. So we're stuck with this filing cabinet of stuff from FEMA for the last 30 years.
Thank you. Joe, Skip, anything? Any questions? No? Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for this excellent and comprehensive presentation. And I know that you've been working very hard. I had the benefit of sitting in on, you know, one of the meetings. And I want to thank you, because a resilient Ponce Inlet is what we've all been working towards. And it's been very deliberate. And having you participate has made such a significant difference. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and now we are at our consent agenda. Now, there are four items on the consent agenda, and under our rules, these items are placed here because they do not warrant detailed discussion nor require individual action by the town council. To pull an item, it will be for discussion purposes by the council, and the item will be placed under agenda item 13, with the staff person who drafted the report on the item will then present the pulled item. We will open the matter for the public, and then a motion will be made on the item. So is there anyone who wishes to pull one of the four items?
No.
Okay, so seeing none, then I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. 8A, consideration of town donation to the Volusia Tax Collectors Kids Tag Art Program. Ms. Alex, our cultural services manager, will be presenting this item.
Good evening, or good afternoon, Council. I'm so used to saying evening. At the February Council meeting, Council supported the Kids Tag Art Program, providing a silver level sponsorship supporting arts education in public schools. Mr. Will Roberts behind me is here with the Tax Collector's Office to provide a presentation requesting the town's continued support for the 2025 school year.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Thank you for coming.
Yes, thank you, Town, and Council and everybody for being available today and supporting us in the past, and we would, of course, like to have your support this year as well. One item of note, the state of Florida actually does have a new plate. It's celebrating the 250th anniversary of our country's creation. So if you take a look at that, this is the new plate. You can get it upon renewal. Brand new plate. Looking forward to having that on vehicles and for the next 10 years, because that's how long the state of Florida allows you to have a plate, 10 years before you replace it. And with that, I will turn it over to Holly Smith, my public affairs administrator, who will talk a little bit about the program.
Holly Smith, representing the Office of Will Roberts, Tax Collector. About that plate, it's different from a specialty plate. You do not have to pay extra for it. It's just like the regular standard issue plate. So we already have people who are coming in to get it. So, again, I'm Holly Smith, and the first things first, I want to thank you for your sponsorship last year and for having us here this year to come back and talk to you about continuing your support for the Kids Tag Art Program. So tonight I'm going to go really quickly, just overview of the program. You're probably going to remember a lot of it from last year. These are the teachers, or most of them. There are a couple teachers missing who benefited from your sponsorship last year. Again, the program is for the fifth grade students in elementary schools that choose to participate are participating in the program, but the funds that are raised are dedicated to the art program for the entire elementary school. So these are the teachers who got your sponsorship money last year. So the program has three goals. The first goal is to raise money. That's why we're here. The second goal is to educate some civics education and integrate that with art. And finally, it's to encourage the students and help them with some of those critical thinking skills. So first, again, raise funds for elementary programs, art programs in elementary schools. Here's a general overview of what each of those art programs receives. They get $100 from the school board per year for consumables for the program, not per student. They get about, but not more than, $300 additional classroom funds. It depends on the funding that the school board has. And finally, each school can choose to give the art programs more money if they have it. Most of our schools are, this year, they're all Title I schools, so they likely don't have the money to give. So if you add that up, it's $480. For simple math, we round up to $500 per year for the art teacher to run a program from pre-K through fifth grade. If they have 500 students in a school, that's $1 per head. Good luck buying a pack of markers, right? So the schools obviously need money, and they rely on partners and donations for that, just to maintain the basics. So this program really has been helping these participating schools. The first thing, way the teachers can raise money is the students, and I'm going to show you some samples, or Mr. Roberts will in a minute, not yet though, some plates. The teachers can sell those plates to the parents. You know, parents always want to buy their children's artwork, and so they make just under $10 per plate that they sell at the school level. But again, these schools are Title I schools. The parents don't always have the money. The school sold anywhere from 6 to 32 plates, depending on the school. The school that sold the most was in Edgewater. Second, the reason we're here, sponsors sign on at various levels, and then the net proceeds from those sponsorships, and which is pretty much every dollar raised, is divided by the 10 participating schools, and the schools get to keep get that check. And then we also seek a community cultural mini grant, which covers the expenses of the program, nearly all of them, not quite all, but nearly all, and then that way all those sponsorship dollars go back to the art programs. So again, it's net proceeds from sponsorships divided by 10 participating schools, and here's what it looked like at the end of last year. Each school that participated received a check for $2,000. Now, we're sitting here in a town, and your budgets have lots of zeros and commas in them. County has more, right? As you get bigger government. $2,000 doesn't seem like a lot of money. You should have seen the jaws drop on these teachers because they're used to getting $300, $500 a year, and now they have $2,000. So when you ask, what are you going to do with your money, you think they're going to buy clay or something. Replenish the basics, broken supplies and consumables. And then some teachers who, when we have one who's participated for 3 years, she can now start buying things to give them more of an experience that it isn't just your typical markers and crayon and paper and scissors and glue and those sorts of things. So the second goal is to integrate the civics education with art theory. At the beginning of the school year, this is a teacher, I believe, from South Daytona last year. Yes, South Daytona. They start with talking about the specialty plate program in Florida. It's nearly 200 specialty plates that you can buy, and the extra fee from those plates goes to charitable organizations for a particular cause. So the teacher teaches the students about that and then gets them to design their own plate. Mr. Roberts is going to show you some examples of the plates that were created this year. They're right off the press. We got these at the end of last week. They design their own plate. Those are the ones the parents can buy. And she includes art theory with that, color theory, design theory. And the students have to use their critical thinking skills and knowledge and creativity to develop the plates. And then finally, those plates at each school, the teachers choose the award-winning plates at the school, which gives us the opportunity to show them off in many ways. First way, the students receive awards at their fifth grade awards graduation ceremony. There's different levels of awards, and I can tell you, and Mr. Roberts, I've heard him say it many times, that you're used to seeing the kids with the perfect attendance and the A students get, you know, they're running, wearing a path on the stage getting all their awards. Some of the students who are getting these awards are students that never get anything. And last year at one of the schools, the teacher was in tears afterwards, and she told us that one of the girls who won the top award had had a really rough year at home and at school and had recently been able to return to her class. And for her to be recognized that way in front of a cafeteria full of people was very heartwarming. And the student just had this look on her face that she just couldn't believe that she won something. So it's nice to help them reach their goals. And then secondly, we take those award-winning plates and we show them off. So the first picture on the upper left is a woman who purchased a plate from us and was getting ready to put it on the front of her car, because again, these are vanity plates, they can't go on the back. The upper right-hand corner is a photo of a woman who was shooting our QR code to buy a plate from one of our tents. We participate in lots of community events, and we set up a tent and we hang the plates. And then on the bottom, you'll see indoor events. We have different types of displays, and we also sell the plates there with proceeds going back to the schools. And in all six of our branches, we have lobby displays, once again showing off the work. Lots of parents and even some students have come through and pointed out that they either know someone or their plate's on the wall. The plates are up for 12 months. We're right at the end of 1 year, and in January, the plates will turn over to the new award-winning plates. And I have to give a plug because we get the grant. The mini grant that we receive is funded through the sale of the State of the Arts plates. It's that one here in Volusia County. So any plates sold in Volusia County, the money stays in Volusia County. It's managed. It goes to Volusia County government, and it's managed from the Cultural Council of Volusia County. So they gave us a $5,000 grant again this year to cover the program expenses. And then, so how can you help? Well, you can sponsor. That's what we're here for, obviously, to ask for money. You can buy a plate. I believe the mayor bought a lighthouse plate last year. It's beautiful. And it's right there. That's their plate. And you can also share our posts, which are on Facebook, and you can find us at Volusia Tax. And we have to give a shout out to our platinum sponsors again this year, Advent Health and the Volusia Family Resource Center. And if you look over to the right, the city of New Smyrna Beach increased their sponsorship this year to a gold level. The city of Daytona Beach came on as a gold level. And the city of Daytona Beach Shores has once again challenged all the mayors to match her again as a gold level. What the gold level sponsorship does is it allows you to choose a plate of your own that's your plate as a sponsorship award. and then a representative from the town council goes to the fifth grade graduation ceremony and presents the plate to the students in a nice frame with your name on it and also their name on it and their plate inside. It's a nice shadow box frame. And so here's Mayor Miller from the Shores. Again, she's challenged everybody. This is last year she was picking her plate for their award, and then she presented it to the group. So if you're interested in more details or if you want to see all the plates from last year, they're online at volusiatax.gov/art. We also will have the new plates ready to go. I'm told mid-January we're in the middle of changing vendors to be able to sell online, and they're finishing the technical details on that. So with that, I'll answer any questions you might have.
Does anyone have any questions? Questions, Gary? Anybody in the audience have any questions on this program? Well, what I would like to suggest to the council is that we have an opportunity to help provide supplies to the art classrooms, encourage young artists who otherwise wouldn't have this opportunity. We did it last year. It's within our donation policy and that resolution as was spelled out in our packet, and I would like to suggest that we, again, this year become a sponsor at the silver level at $750.
I do have one question.
Yes.
And again, Michael, you can clarify this for me, and I'm all for this, Mayor. I'm actually doing a Bill Milano and trying to find a different way since Bill's not here, and this is near and dear to Bill's heart. But it says that we have up to $1,000 that's currently in this account that we have budgeted. Can we not go to that $1,000, or is that $250 designated somewhere else?
No, there are ratios in the the resolution with policy. You could make that decision to do so, but just keep aware that you do have two requests on your agenda tonight.
But they're different accounts, are they not?
No.
Okay.
That all comes out of the same one.
The only reason I asked that question because, and hang with me, Mayor, the reason I asked that question for item 8B, it says that it's coming out of a total of $1,000 in budget. Hang on. Different one. Over here. Yeah. So it was coming out of the cultural services account. Did I misread that?
No, it says in the second one, it says it's one of the categories for a cultural opportunity.
Right.
But all that money comes out of the donation account, okay, which is in the legislative
I was
budget.
Assuming that there was another account set up out of the cultural services. Okay, I got it. So I'm ready for a motion, but I'll
good.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Do you want to make the motion? Oh,
yeah, I don't know if everybody was finished or not.
Oh. Does anyone have any questions? Anyone in the audience? No,
okay.
Please.
No, I'm ready. Okay.
Go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion for the town of Ponce Inlet to donate $750 to the Volusia Tax Collectors Kids Tag Art Program.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you both so much for coming here and
yes.
sharing this and providing us with this opportunity to help the kids. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And now we are at 8B, which is consideration of town donation to the U.S. Naval Sea Cadet Corps in Daytona Beach, the Daytona Beach Division. Miss Alex?
Yes, ma'am. The town council directed staff to prepare a report to formally consider a donation to support the U.S. Naval Sea Cadet Corps at their November council meeting, where Petty Officer Third Class Davin Mansfield presented on behalf of the organization's Daytona Division. Congress has recently reduced funding for the national program, increasing the financial burden on participating families and local divisions. The Daytona Division is currently seeking donations to help offset training and travel costs for the upcoming year. Attached to my report is the town's charitable donation policy, which we just recently discussed. No specific donation amount has been requested. Should the town council wish to provide a financial support to the Daytona Division, the donation must fall within, again, the available budgeted funds, just as we discussed, and action on this is at your direction.
Thank you so much. And I see that we have Petty Officer Third Class Davin Mansfield here this afternoon again. You did such an excellent job presenting to us at the last council meeting. Is there anything that you would like to say or share before the council discusses your request?
Yes, I would like to share that with any donation, it can go an extremely long way. Even the littlest amount can pay for something big for another cadet.
Well, thank you so much for saying that and sharing that with us. And right now I'm going to ask whether a council member has any question of either anyone, Jackie or David. Okay, is there anyone in the audience who has a question or a comment? Okay, seeing none, I will entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we fund the petty officers of Mansfield Daytona Division up to $1,000 for the coming
camp
period.
I think you will need to amend that motion to $250.
We have to limit it?
Because we've, excuse me,
$250. Okay, Darren.
Okay, is that an acceptable motion? Okay, so the donation will be $250. There's a motion on the table. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, we will do what needs to be done to make sure that you do receive the funds. And thank you again. And you've done everyone proud. So thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, we are now at, we're beginning the board appointments. That's 8C, D, and E. What I'd like to just preface this agenda item with is that, you know, the work of the advisory boards is extremely important to this council, and these boards are one of the most important ways for us to obtain resident input. So for this year, we received a significant number of applications, including existing members seeking reappointment, in addition to first-time applicants. To all those who filled out their paperwork, thank you for your willingness to serve this community. Now, I see a number of our applicants. Yes, you need to, yes.
Might I interrupt just for a moment?
Sure, Mark. What?
Mark Obeck, 4758 South Peninsula Drive, and president of the Ponce Inlet Veterans Memorial Association. Our association would like to make up the difference between the $250 and the $1,000 for the cadet program.
Well, Mark, that is certainly worthy of interruption, and so you all will handle that independent of the town, and we thank you very much for doing that.
Wonderful.
That, yes.
Thank our members. Just decided, let's do it.
Well, it's wonderful. We have another opportunity to help our young people. Thank you. Thank you to our veterans. Thank you. Well, this was very nice. Worthy of the interruption, Mark. Thank you. Okay, back to our advisory boards. What I wanted to say is that I see a lot of individuals out here who have placed your applications in, and what will happen is once the agenda item on a particular board is called, I will invite each applicant to address this meeting. This will be your opportunity to speak with us and possibly answer questions if the council has any. Or the public. So let us begin with 8C, that is the Cultural Services Historic Presentation and Tree Advisory Board. Our Deputy Town Clerk, Stephanie Guessing? Okay. Thank you, Stephanie.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. The Cultural Services Historic Preservation and Tree Advisory Board consists of 7 seats. The terms for regular seat 2, held by Ms. Debbie Keese, regular seat 4, held by Ms. Liz Finch, and alternate seat 1, held by Ms. Susan Vanderbeek, will expire on December 31st of this year. Ms. Keese, Ms. Finch, and Ms. Vanderbeek are interested in continuing their service on the board, and they have met the attendance requirements as set forth by Resolution 2013-02. Mr. David Miller has applied for appointment, and he has met the council's requirements for eligibility as set forth in Resolution 2025-06. Appointments to the board are at the council's discretion, and staff is available should you have any questions. And I believe potentially Mr. Miller is in attendance if you have any questions as well.
Thank you so much. So of the four people, is there anyone who wishes to speak to the council? Mr. Miller, would you like to come up?
I just want to say thank you very much for this opportunity to be on the board, Cultural Services Board, and I look forward to working with the town of Ponce Inlet and all of my friends here and continuing to make Ponce Inlet the wonderful place it is to live.
Thank you so much, Mr. Miller. Thank you for applying. Is there anyone else who's applying on this board who's in attendance and would like to speak? Okay, then seeing none, do we have a nomination for seat number two, which presently is held by Debbie Keese?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. I can actually make a motion if you'd like for each one. I have it written out.
Can we
do that, Michael? Would it be easier if I just call out each seat?
Yeah, that's at your discretion.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be simpler, Mayor, if that's okay with you.
Certainly.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to appoint the following to the Cultural Services Historic Preservation and Tree Advisory Board. Regular seat number two, Ms. Debbie Keese. Regular seat number four, Ms. Liz Angel Finch. Alternate seat one, Ms. Sue Vanderbeek. Alternate seat two, Mr. David Miller.
Thank you. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. The motion passes, and I want to thank the people who have put their application in for reappointment. And, Mr. Miller, thank you so much for joining the board. We look forward to having you participate. Thank you. Now, 8D is the Essential Services Advisory Board. We again will have our Deputy Town Clerk, Ms. Gessing, please.
Yes, thank you. So the Essential Services Advisory Board consists of 10 seats, all with specific disciplines. The terms for regular seat 2, held by Mr. Ryan McConaughey, regular seat 4, held by Ms. Amy Wurst, alternate seat 1, held by Ms. Karen Ree, alternate seat 4, held by Mr. Matt Montgomery, and alternate seat 5, held by Mr. Stephen Wolf, will expire on December 31st of this year. Mr. McConaughey, Ms. Ree, Mr. Montgomery, and Mr. Wolf are interested in continuing their service to the town, and they have met the attendance requirements as set forth by Resolution 2013-02. Ms. Wurst did not submit an application for reappointment to the board, but she stated she will be monitoring more board opportunities in the future. Ms. Therese Evans has applied for appointment to the regular or alternate seat 4 position, which requires a background in finance, and she has met the council's requirements for eligibility as set forth in Resolution 2025-06. The alternate seats for seat 2, Fire Rescue EMS, and seat 3, Engineering, remain vacant. Appointments to the board are at council's discretion, and staff is available should you have any questions. Mr. Wolf did inform staff that he wished to attend today's meeting so he could inform the council of his desire to continue serving his community on this board. However, he had a conflict and could not be in attendance today, although some other applicants are in attendance should you have any questions for them as well.
Thank you so much. And I do want to say that I spoke with Matt Montgomery, who is unable to be here today, and he has been our alternate with the seat for financial, and I advised him that as of the time of the packet was that the person who held the seat had not made the application. I also spoke with Teresa Evans, who is seeking the financial seat as well, or alternate, and she is out of state with her family, but appreciates our consideration for today. So with that, we can begin by asking who is here on this board who would like to come up and speak. Is there anyone who would like to speak who's here? Yes, Ryan, please. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Ryan McConaughey, 66 C Wind Circle. I just want to say thank you. I've been part of the Central Services Board since its inception. I started as the alternate for the fire rescue position, and now I hold that seat. And I enjoy it. I enjoy participating in the town. So I appreciate your consideration for reappointment.
Thank you so much. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak, Karen?
Karen Ree, 49 Marie Drive. Thank you very much for considering me for the Essential Services Board. Does the council have any questions of me?
No.
Seeing none, other than, I'll take my seat.
Well, I want to thank you because I have been to the board with many of the other council members, and it's always a pleasure to listen to all of you speak. So thank you. Thank you for considering doing it again, Karen.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity.
Is there anyone else who's here? I don't think so. Okay. So we could go seat by seat, or do you have...
I've got it again if you want. I'd like to make a motion to appoint the following to the Central Services Advisory Board.